Our scripture reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16 and 20 through 24. Throughout the Bible, both in the New and Old Testament, there are verses about shepherds. One of the more famous ones in the Old Testament is Psalm 23, which states that the Lord is my shepherd. Here in this reading, we have the shepherd saying what needs to be done since the Hebrews have been scattered in captivity for several generations. Many of them have given up any hope of returning to Jerusalem. In today's reading, the prophet Ezekiel offers an alternative vision filled with the promise of God's care. Listen now to the word of God. God says, "From now on, I myself am shepherd. I'm going looking for them. As shepherds go after their flocks when they get scattered, I'm going after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places they've been scattered to in the storms. I'll bring them back from foreign peoples, gather them from foreign countries, and bring them back to their home country. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, along the streams, among their own people. I'll lead them into lush pastures so they can roam the mountain pastures of Israel, graze at leisure, feed in the rich pastures of the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make sure they get plenty of rest. I'll go after the lost. I'll collect the strays. I'll doctor the injured. I'll build up the weak ones and oversee the strong ones so they are not exploited. Therefore, God says, I myself am stepping in and making things right between the plump sheep and the skinny sheep. Because you forced your way with shoulder and rump and butted at all the weaker animals with your horns till you scattered them all over the hills, I'll come in and save my dear flock. No longer let them be pushed around. I'll step in and set things right between one sheep and another. I'll appoint one shepherd over them all, my servant David. He'll feed them. He'll be their shepherd. And I, God, will be their God. My servant David will be their prince. I, God, have spoken."
Let us pray. If we were to be left with inadequate human words and thoughts, O God, you know how little we would accomplish that matters. We yearn for your word and ways and spirit. Come. Amen. I don't know how much time you have spent with the prophet Ezekiel. It's worth spending some time with the prophet Ezekiel. It's quite a book. He was not, as some of the other prophets were, he used all kinds of powerful and evocative images to tell the people of the Hebrews that they would be going home and what the meaning of their struggles really was. The Hebrews had been bullied often. Have you ever been bullied? It's much in the news these days. We hear about it a lot. Turns out that nearly everybody does get bullied at one time, as we now define that. We used to use words like hazing, indoctrinating, making someone one of the gang, things like that. Bullying can be a lot more serious. It can leave lifetime scars if we are ridiculed and rejected and made to feel other, which is exactly what happened to the Hebrews. Often, one after another, great empires defeated them, overran them, carried them off, took over their lands, put them under their thumbs. The prevailing theology of the days was that these things happened because they deserved it. They had forgotten the covenant of God, and they got what was coming to them. And if they would learn their lesson, these things would stop happening. And at some point, they believed that. They had been bullied a lot, and now they were in exile in Babylon, gathered by the river, and listening to this strange fellow, Ezekiel, weave a word pattern that they had not heard before. Not only were they bullied, they were lost. They were far from home. Some of them had never lived in Israel. And others, as George mentioned, had lost any hope of going back. Some were born in captivity. Some knew how to speak Babylonian more fluently than they knew how to speak Hebrew. And this was very worrisome to their parents. What will become of us, these darn kids? They're looking and sounding Babylonian of all things. Since it's the time of year that it is, I'll point out to you that that's the primary reason the pilgrims decided to leave Holland. While they did want religious liberty, they had found it there. And while they yearned to go back to their old trades, they were able to make a living in Holland. What really bothered them was that they were feeling more and more lost. Their kids were speaking Dutch and not English. And they were wearing those ridiculous wooden shoes. No, that's not true. That's all. That's not true. They were lost geographically. They were lost relationally. They were lost spiritually. They no longer knew who they were. And into that context, Ezekiel introduces a rich image of God, using the very words of God attributed to God. He portrays God as the shepherd, the good shepherd. If we had read the verses just before that, we would have heard condemnation of the bad shepherds, the so-called leaders who had looked after their own welfare but not the welfare of the people, and were one of the causes of their being bullied and lost. But the good shepherd was coming, would gather them together as dispersed as they were and bring them home. It would be just like it used to be, only entirely different and better. I don't know how many sheep you have hung around with. I've actually hung around with a few. Or how many shepherds. That's not an imagery that's rich in our culture, and I tried to think of what might be comparable. So I'll try this. For those of you who are geek heads out there, have you ever had a hard drive fail? And have you ever taken it to a data recovery place and spent hundreds of dollars for them to search through the millions of bytes on that hard drive and find this little piece of data and that little tiny bit of data and somehow reassemble it all into files that make sense, into your precious financial records or your sermons? All right, that's not a great, profound image, but I don't know how we'll catch this image that was presented, not of the punishing God, but of the God, the relentlessly seeking God who will go to the ends of the earth to grab even the tiniest little forgotten one and bring them home again. Yes, Psalm 23 is richly evoked in this. It talks about the streams and the fields. And Jesus would pick up this very imagery in the 10th chapter of John and talk about how he was the good shepherd. Boy, the ears of the folks who heard that would have perked right up. Ooh, we know about the good shepherd. Wow, here he is in the flesh. It's a great passage. It's a great passage for those who are undergoing times of change, who are maybe feeling lost and dislocated, disoriented. Things really are changing, aren't they? not just in our bodies, in our church, in the world. It is quite a time of change. Some of us, although you don't use this exact word, have spoken of feeling a little bullied, pushed this way and that way, rather rudely, by events and people and voices around you. It's a great passage for us in the early part of the 21st century. Those of us that stretch back to the mid-20th century or even the early 20th century. It's an amazing time that you have lived through. It's a good passage for somebody who's contemplating retiring and the changes that that will mean and the disorientation and lostness that that may well entail. This image of shepherd means that we do not have a passive God who simply will let us go about our own way and forget us until we choose to nibble the grass and find our way home again. No, no. This God, unlike most images in the Hebrew Scriptures, this is a God who pursues and protects and brings home, who, did you catch that line about butting the powerful bullies out of the way to protect the weak and vulnerable? It's quite an image. It's one the pilgrims latched onto as they were tossed about in that tiny ship on the North Atlantic Sea. And when at last their feet hit hard, frozen, cold land in Massachusetts, God loved the people still living there. When they got there, they were richly aware of this God who had promised to bring them home. And no matter how it gets, and no matter how lost or bullied we may feel, there is a good word here. God is in it all, protecting and guiding and leading. There's a second really important piece of this image of the Good Shepherd, I think, for us, and it is this. It is exactly our work to be also good shepherds. Not just our clergy, and maybe not even especially our clergy. The word pastor, you know, does mean shepherd, and we talk about our clergy as being shepherds. Interesting. You know what that makes you. And I have hung around a few, and let me tell you, never mind. We are all to be the good shepherds. That is a profoundly powerful privilege and awesome duty. There's a sign-up table out there for the Thanksgiving dinner, and I want to give more than just a commercial for that. I want to suggest that that dinner is about being good shepherds. It is about throwing open the doors wide and feeding the hungry, not just in body, but in spirit, the people who have no idea that they are loved, that they matter, that God cares, that other human beings care. I wish you could field the phone calls that those of us in the office have the privilege of fielding. I fielded one the other day. I'll say more about it in a moment, but the woman was in tears on the other end of the line. "I'm still alone," she said. "I can't tell you what it means to go to that dinner and be surrounded." We are called to use our considerable gifts to speak for those who have no voice, to wrap the arms of our faith and spirits around those who feel themselves to be alone, to butt out of the way the bullies that would savage the gentle, vulnerable ones among us. It's why those boxes are out there, so that we can love veterans this month, and not just this month, I hope. It's why we shuttle goods and things down to the New Life Center with such regularity. It's why the Giving Tree will be up in a few weeks, and we'll be invited to help make life better for a wonderful family with little kids. In a few minutes, Emily is going to be baptized right here. I can't believe I never asked her if she'd been baptized. It's so ridiculously out of order. She joined the church a long time ago. We baptized her daughter. I love it that it's so out of order. How us is that? In the midst of that service, Emily will engage in the good work of being Christ's presence in the world so that others may see Christ in her. That's our ordination, all of us. That's our life together. That's our work, to be the presence of Jesus in the world, reconciling and making whole, being good shepherds. I know that you've had the same experience I have along my life journey. Isn't it amazing how just the right person shows up at just the right time? Isn't that a coincidence? No. And has just the right word to say exactly when you need to hear it? Has just the right gift to offer? And I don't mean something wrapped with a bow, although occasionally that's nice, but the right gift, the gift from the Spirit of God that brings healing and hope and direction. You have been one of those for me through these years, and I will always be grateful that for that amazing coincidence that put a car salesman in this pulpit. We have together served with the power of that relentlessly seeking God, and we're still learning how to do it. And you know what? You're going to discover ways to do that that we can't imagine yet. That's what's coming. Well, back to my phone call. The woman on the other end was in tears as she was telling how much the Thanksgiving dinner would mean to her. And she said, "You know, I'm a Lutheran." And I said, "I could tell." But that's okay. We love Lutherans too. And she said, "You know, boy, if I weren't such a Lutheran, I would almost consider becoming..." What are you again? And I said, "On your behalf, me, I'm blessed. Go be a blessing. Onward. Amen."